please introduce yourself and tell us where you've come from.
Yeah, I'm Jamie Cool. I'm a group program manager in the TFS / VSO organization. We kind of have two acronyms now that make up our product. And I work out of the North Carolina office, so I just flew in from Raleigh, North Carolina yesterday.
Wow. Okay, so a little bit tired.
I'm doing okay. It's early in the week. Talk to me on Friday. That'll be a different thing.
All right, sure. So you mentioned you're a group program manager. What does that actually mean or involve?
Yeah, so there used to be three disciplines for how we build software, and now there's really two. So we combine the dev and test disciplines together to one. So then we've got engineers now. Engineers are the ones that actually build the product, make sure it works. And then the other part of the engineering team are the program managers, right? So the program managers are the ones that kind of help interface with the customer, define what the requirements are, what the product should be, make sure they get delivered, kind of have the responsibility for delivering on an overall area or initiative. So all the group program manager is that I lead a team of program managers that are responsible for a set of areas. So in my case, I'm responsible for version control, build the CI system, our cross-platform initiatives that we do inside of TFS, that kind of realm. Generally, the things that are the most about how developers would interface with TFS are the areas that I concentrate on.
Okay, so how does your organization fit into the rest of the organization?
How does, you know, the TFS, how does my part fit in?
Yeah.
So, you know, inside of, you know, we're all part of Brian's team, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the 400 or so of us that are part of TFS, you know, the on-premise version, and VSO, which is the cloud version that we kind of, you know, use synonymously in these conversations. And, you know, so there's about 100 of us that work out of North Carolina. And I lead the part of that our version control team. So we have, you know, now three version control teams. We have a build team. We have a Java team. And then we also are doing an increasingly large amount of investment around first-party developments, you know, making sure that Microsoft is going to be able to use our engineering system.
Yeah.
And there's a part of Brian's org that's here in Redmond that I also lead that does a lot of the build, like distributed build pieces that we do for enabling Microsoft scale.
Okay, yeah. Cool. That sounds good. So what is the story behind some of the kind of areas that you work on in terms of the product?
You know, the story, I think there's a couple of different things that we do. So, you know, there's a lot of focus on, you know, if I look at the different pieces and kind of the key investments and, you know, the story that we tell as part of that. So there's version control, and, you know, version control is interesting right now. You know, we essentially have two version control systems in TFS, TFVC, you know, the traditional centralized version control system. And then we've got Git, which is our distributed version control system. And we support both, and it's great. There's a lot of kind of industry momentum. It's interesting if you look at how people use version control. There are lots of different classes of version control users, from power users to folks that really don't care about version control. They just don't want it to get in their way. And, you know, if you look at organizations that use version control, they really don't change very often. I mean, you know, I was talking to the company on Friday, they're still on Star Team, right? Like, the number of people that are still using Visual Source Safe is disturbing, frankly. But they don't change very often, but there's a lot of energy right now around distributed source control and workflows, and there's a lot of energy going into that. And a lot of things really change when you go from TFVC to DVCS. And a lot of that is not so much the version control technology, because they are different, they have different characteristics, but they're about how you work with the code and how you flow code. The best example, in my opinion, is code review, right? With centralized source control systems, people may or may not do code review. If they do code review, they may or may not use a tool for it. They may just do kind of the over-the-shoulder thing, but it's more or less kind of a pseudo-optional thing that they do to kind of double-check somebody's work. And with distributed source control, you can do that, and people use it for that purpose, but there's also much more likely that you have all of your workflows tied to it as well. So with, you know, the way we work internally, there's a lot of automation and validation that happens as part of the code review or the pull request, and it's starting to become those workflows are becoming more a way to work and a way to flow your code, as opposed to just a tool that you can go and use. So there's a big change going on in the version control space, and we have a bunch of energy going on to that trying to go from that shift of, you know, kind of just the two different technologies to giving you a kind of a way to work, a way to flow your code as part of that. I think that's definitely a big piece. Build in CI, you know, is another interesting thing. You know, if you look at TFS today, there's really two big pieces that are the primary points of adoption and usage, right? One is obviously version control, and the other one is work item tracking, agile project management. But in terms of, you look at organizations and their level of sophistication, you know, they've kind of followed that, right? Like almost everybody has a ticketing system of some sort, right?
Yeah.
10 years ago, it wouldn't have necessarily been a true statement that most people use source control. Now, pretty much everybody uses source control. It's really rare to find that. 5 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to say most people do automated builds. Today, I think it's probably fair to say that more than half of people do automated builds, but not everybody does automated builds. And of the people that do automated build, there's the whole next level. They want to go from automated builds to automated tests and validation as part of that. And then you want to go from automated builds to automated tests, automated deployment as part of that, you know, and leading into, you know, kind of release management scenarios as part of that. So there's a lot of energy going into that space, and it's kind of the area where I would say companies are trying to grow up the most in their engineering systems and engineering practices. So there's a lot of investment in, you know, the build space around having just a great CI system for people to use in that sense.
Mm. Wow, so it looks like you guys are really busy.
We got a lot of things going on.
I can imagine. So are there any things that we don't know about the product?
Well,
or any kind of hidden tips and tricks, or anything that you kind of want to showcase?
Well, the thing I would say, and you can argue about whether, you know, the Rangers know it or not, but the thing that is the most surprising, I think, when I talk to customers about the product in terms of their perception and what they know about it, is support for multiple platforms. Like right now, if you go into an organization and that organization is, you know, heavily Microsoft platform or .NET, they're going to be using TFS very likely in some shape or form. And you know, we have very good, and that's kind of how we're thought of, that's how we're used,
yeah.
And we have a great solution for that. You know, but organizations are very heterogeneous, right? And to different levels, depending on the organization. And there's a whole other part of the organization that are doing Java development or mainframe development, or you name it, really. You know, more and more mobile development. There's a wide spectrum as part of that. And you know, we have historically not targeted our solutions towards that particular segment as strongly. And I think the thing, when I go and I talk to customers and I show them what we have now, we actually have a really compelling offering for the entire organization, not just the .NET side of the house. And I think a lot of that has been, you know, is a lot more true today than it was even a year ago. Like if we go through what's going on the last year, it used to be that we had a build system that was written in C#. So if you needed to compile something on Linux or on iOS, like you just couldn't do it, right? So our build system wasn't particularly friendly towards other platforms. If you wanted to run, you know, different types of tests as part of it, we didn't support all of them. Now, you know, we have a node-based, you know, build agent. We can build literally anything as part of that. That's been a huge change. It used to be, when we talk about source control, it would be a matter of like, what IDEs, what tools do you use? Do they have integration with TFVC? Now we have support for Git. Every tool under the sun supports Git as part of that. Agile and work item tracking are naturally, you know, things that are agnostic to this. If you look at the direction with where release management is going, it's moving to a place where it will be, you know, not tied to just being able to run on Windows, but support any type of deployment automation. If you look at where test has been going, it used to be 100%, and generally all of our experiences used to be rich client only, like all in Visual Studio, and then we did MTM, had that experience, and now you look at it and, you know, if you're not talking about like developer source control IDE integration, our experiences start web-based. Mm. So that they're accessible everywhere. You see the MTM test case management moving to the web. You look at the new build system stuff that we've been doing, and you know, the experience for that has predominantly moved from Visual Studio in terms of authoring, editing, and working with it to being web-based. So we actually have a very, very compelling offering right now for the entire organization. And when I go and I talk to those organizations that are trying to figure out, like, hey, I got my .NET teams over here using using TFS and VSO, and I got my Java guys over here using something, you know, some other combination, often combinations of many things, and we want to standardize, which is a common thing. We see it happening here in Microsoft with the One EES effort. Like, we use a lot of different tools and technologies inside of Microsoft, and there's a large push to converge all of that towards VSO, because there's a lot of virtues to that. When you change teams, you already know the tools. I can interact with other teams and work with them in better ways. So it's always really, you know, kind of, they always come away very like, wow, like this is a really compelling solution for that. And that's kind of the most, I think, surprise I get when I talk about my product
definitely
to folks.
Yeah. Definitely. Great. So you might already know that, you know, with the Rangers, we work with a lot of the feature teams that are in the product group to kind of help fill some of the gaps that they may be kind of struggling to fill. Do you think there's anything that we can help your team with? I know we've participated and worked with you guys previously as well with some of the version control guidance that we've done. So is this a growing kind of relationship?
You know, I think there's definitely a lot of possibilities. I think, you know, we were just talking a little bit earlier, and I know you guys have been working on helping us on our extensibility side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's an area that I've definitely worked on at different levels. And I can tell you, you know, going back to, you know, the last conversation where we're trying to kind of reach out and broaden our appeal to, you know, all of the development organizations, not just the Microsoft platform side of things. You know, just like everything that Microsoft has in terms of the perception, like we're going through the current Microsoft and new Microsoft change, and everything the company does, you know, from Office on iPad to Linux on Azure to VS Code to Git and TFS and VSO are all super positive things on that. But it's definitely a journey for us with customers. And I can tell you, you know, beyond just kind of showing the product and that we have compelling value for, you know, for those, the biggest thing that has the strongest positive impact on that conversation is extensibility, right?
Yeah.
Like when I show a demo, here's our new build system. Hey, look, I can do a build with the source code coming from GitHub, and I can notify Trello as part of that. And I'm, you know, if you want to use GitHub as part of our solution, you can. If you want to use Trello because you want to use Trello instead of our boards, you can. When I talked to, there was a customer that I talked with earlier in the year, and all I heard, they were a predominantly Java shop, and all I heard from them was Sonar, 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 right? Which is an analysis, a kind of a technical debt analysis cube. And, you know, then when I went back, you know, a month ago, I showed them a demo of integration with Sonar. Like there's a build task in the list that you can pick off, and, you know, you choose to publish Sonar results. And those are really powerful because, you know, Microsoft has always been about the integrated solution, which is great, but it also is the closed solution from a perception perspective. And having a kind of open, extensible offering is a super powerful message. So we're making a big push right now to launch the marketplace, to have an open solution for VSO, and it's a big change. I mean, I remember when I started with TFS 6 years ago, we had a version control system, build system, and a work item system, and like they worked together, and that was our offering. And if you wanted to use other things, like it was kind of duct tape and baling wire, and wasn't our core value prop. And now we're really kind of changing on that. But to do that, we need to, you know, help seed and jumpstart the integrations. And some of those are extensions, you know, like adding functionality to the product are all good things, but some of them are integrations with other products, right? Like, so I mentioned Sonar. Next one that, you know, I heard from the customer is Artifactory, right? They're using Artifactory for publishing their artifacts and their shared resources. We're working on actually package management service in VSO as well. But at the same time, customer may want to use that, or they may want to keep using Artifactory and having the higher level of integration with that. So I think that integration space is a huge opportunity, and I see the Rangers starting to engage in kind of the extensibility model, and I would encourage that because it very much helps with the areas that I'm pushing on in my goals as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, and we've actually got a Ranger on the call, Josh. He's got a lab at home which he calls the Frankenbuild, and he's probably your biggest fan because he probably has one Windows device. It's probably more, Josh, don't fall over. But he's actually assembled just about every device he could find and is actually doing true interop cross-platform, and he loves your build system.
Awesome.
And yeah, he was on Channel 9 recently to show his kind of cross-platform, and yeah, it's just become so user-friendly. But the question is, are there users out there that are getting all angst with all this cross-platform happening, i.e. the true Microsoft users? You mentioned we had TFS version control, it was a nice island, and we had the typical customer who was using that island.
Mm-hmm.
Now suddenly they see all this opportunity around them. Are there customers that are scared by the sudden choice they have?
Well, you know, I think they fall into different categories. I mean, you know, certainly you know, there's customers where, you know, do I use TFVC? Do I use Git? You know, there's ambiguity there. I see a little bit of that in that space. By and large, though, not really, because, you know, our core value prop of, hey, you get our product, you set it up with TFS, or you get an account on VSO, and, you know, you have all the services and they work, that hasn't changed, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be the customer that's still fully in our, you know, ecosystem, our suite, like, your life is good. Hopefully with the marketplace, your life will get better, because, you know, when it's, okay, I love the product, it's everything out of the box, except for that one particular feature or that one particular other thing that I wanted to go use, and, you know, the marketplace will have that, so they'll be able to augment the product to make it better. So from that standpoint, it should get better. The other thing I'll say, and it's always, you know, one of the things I find is, you know, in these customer engagements where you've got an organization, you know, that has a whole suite of different things and are trying to figure out which ones they want to use, you know, on one hand, like I was saying before, it's an uphill battle for us to go through with perception and credibility and the non-Microsoft, non.NET side of things. But there's always the .NET half of the organization, and they're more often than not very passionate advocates for us. And they want to keep using us because they have a great solution, and they want us to not only keep using it, but they want the entire organization to keep using it. And, you know, now that we're super focused and serious about having that breadth, it means it is possible for the entire organization to go do it, which I think is a net positive for them from that standpoint.
So can I throw in a few more coming in?
Let's go for Q&A.
There's one good news. Neil, a ranger in South Africa, just said he actually just moved somebody off Visual Source Safe.
So excellent. Good. Always good news.
Then the next question,
a few more million to go.
And then the question that comes from James, he's here in the US, is why have we not been able to move everybody off VSS yet? What is the real stumbling block in terms of moving them off? Is it just it works and they're happy with it? Or
I think there's a lot of different dimensions to it. You know, it's the same question, you know, why are we still on mainframes on some level, you know? And you know, you look at it, like, take Office, for example, right? Like, Office has had code. I mean, I've been at Microsoft now for 17 going on 18 years, and Office has had code in it that people were afraid to touch since the day I joined, right? And there's a lot of, you build an application and then it's running and then you're maintaining it and you're just not investing in it. So there's a lot of VSS, things that are in VSS that are in that kind of maintenance mode, and you're not going to invest in moving them to something else. And you know, often changing source control systems can be, you know, a sticky thing, because it's not just the source control server and the people that know how to use it or not use it, but it's also the tools and the processes that you also have hooked up around your source control system. You know, I mean, Microsoft is maybe an extreme example, but, you know, I look at teams inside the company, what it takes for them to change source control system, and it's much about, like, wow, there's a whole huge spreadsheet of tools that have to have ripple effects as part of that. And most customers don't have it on that scale, but there's a cost to change, right? And then they have to do justify the cost, and it's not always there to justify the cost. I mean, if we were to go re-engineer Office from scratch, it'd probably be a better code base, but that's never gonna justify the cost. And then there's, you know, change is hard, and change takes inertia. And if you don't have a change agent, if you don't have people pushing, you know, the status quo is the default place as part of it. So, I mean, VSS, Star Team, I mean, there's all kinds of tools that are there. And, you know, as much as I'd rail on VSS, you know, ClearCase is another one that's still out there in spades. And, you know, you have to have admins to manage, you know, ClearCase servers. They're of any real size. So, yeah. And yet, it does seem like the rate of change in this space is a lot higher than it has been. And even if you just look at the amount of energy around dev tools, dev services in the industry now compared to 10 years ago, it's order of magnitude higher. And I think that's, I can see that rippling into teams trying to evolve and get faster. I think the other thing that's really happening now too is, you know, you have these adoption curves, right? And Agile's been kind of, you know, going up fast. And I think Agile's clearly over the hump. Like, way more organizations have, you know, made the move to try to move to Agile. Now, different levels of success, different levels of problems to get over that. But the thing that happens really quickly to organizations that are having success in moving how they work into the Agile life cycle is, okay, you kind of, I'm iterative, I got prioritized, I'm doing the right things, all of the things that come out of Agile. But if your engineering system is still only set up to let you ship every 6 months, it doesn't do you any good, right? Then the next level is how can I get better and push on that? So that's all, that Agile wave is also pushing a lot of that to happen, I'm seeing.
Then we've got two questions from John. I hope I'm going to get this right. So is the evolution of TFS to be cloud only? So I guess VSO is rapidly evolving, as we know, and TFS comes in bigger chunks.
Yep.
I think that's what John is asking, is the evolution only on VSO?
So we have, clearly there is a lot of energy in the entire, development space around the cloud. There has been for a while, it's only accelerating. At the same time, I can say, when I go into an organization and you talk to an organization about like what they're doing, the vast majority of organizations for things like source control are still predominantly focused on premise. Many organizations are in the process of, just getting approval for, their top two clouds that they're even allowed to use, much less getting to the point of putting source control on it. So ton of energy in the cloud, but like, make no mistake, like our the mainstream of our customers are on premise, and while we expect that to kind of shift gradually over time, that is going to be a long shift, right? In terms of organizations in general and how fast they move to the cloud, especially when you start talking about their IP, like source control. So we have two teams in VSO in North Carolina, they're both in North Carolina actually, whose life predominantly is to build the framework that does the abstraction so that we're on premise. It goes into SQL Server, when they're a cloud, it goes into SQL Azure, or into blob storage on the cloud, and into SQL on premise, to make it easy for all of the other teams to build services and not have them have to think that hard about whether it's going to be an on premise or a cloud service. Now there's some that's trickier, but that is a large investment to have that framework, and it's because we know there's going to be a very, very long period of time, really as far as we can foresee at this point, where on premise and cloud are both really important. At the same time, the shift is definitely happening, and we're putting a lot of effort into making it so that the VSO offering is ready and compelling, because ultimately people largely don't want to run, their own dev services. They'd love to have somebody else running their build lab to run their servers, and we got a bunch of investment to get it ready, just in terms of security and certifications and features like work item customization, all of the parity type of things to VSO. But long term, they're both there.
And you have to just obviously cut me off if you run out of time. But it's streaming in now. Mr. Frankenbold actually has a question for you. That's Josh. Are there any inklings around supporting other source control systems for use with build?
So right now I have a team in North Carolina that is adding support for Subversion, because that's the other number one that we hear often. If there's another like source control system at the top of your list, I'd be Mercury. Is that supposed to be Mercury?
I'm not sure. No, that comes from the Frankenbold lab. It's cryptic at times.
I see. Got it.
And he's typing. So.
But I'd love to hear what it is. But Subversion is the one that we're adding now. There's a next step after we add Subversion to try and make the source control interface to build extensible, so other people could plug in their own. But we also found there's a very, very finite set of source control system people want, and most of them are actually provided by the first party build systems for integration. So we've kind of prioritized getting out the mainstream ones.
Mercurial would be good.
Yeah. Yep. There's a version next on the list, and then we'll go from there.
Can I throw another one in?
Go for it.
Question from James. Is it easier to move to Agile or DevOps?
Is it easier? That's a loaded question.
It is loaded. And do people decide they want to skip and just do DevOps? It's probably... We should probably be speaking to Aaron on that.
Well, I'm here. I can give you my two cents on it. Moving to Agile is such a loaded expression, right? Like, the first level of doing the I'm now agile is probably the easiest of all of them, right? Like whether how much gain you get out of that if you're doing it right or not is a whole other side of things. Moving to DevOps, right? Like that's hard, right? Because let me say this, like there's a cult, like I sell dev tools, right? For the most part though, people don't really want dev tools. They want ways to work and process, and they want culture change, right? Like those are the two things they're trying to go drive, and then the tools are the way that they facilitate getting them. So both DevOps and Agile, and I've gone through both in our org, have culture and process change that go along with them. DevOps has an additional challenge of you have to have your engineering system updated, right? Like you have to get to the point where your builds are reasonable fast. You've got good test coverage, so you can automate and validate the quality of your product. You really should need to get to do it well, your deployment being automated, you know, and how you manage configuration. There's a bunch of core engineering system things for how you do your application that I can tell you very, very, very few organizations have gotten to the, you know, a high level of sophistication for it. I mean, we invest a ton just in how we do VSO and TFS, and it's a, you know, I can't stand here today and say that we're in a nirvana situation because we're on a constant journey to make those better. Right now, we're putting a lot of energy in kind of improving our test automation and in our deployment automation, and it's just kind of a nonstop journey. But that's an additional kind of level that comes with DevOps. So I find people are definitely way further along the Agile path than they are the DevOps path.
I guess, Willie, we've got time for one more.
Something called Source Gear Vault, Team City. I told you, once you open up the Frankenbuild lab, he's going to give you all these options that you would like supported. So Team City, Source Gear Vault. I'll send you the list.
Yeah, sounds good. I think we have Team City today. You can do a Team City build out of VSO Git or with a plugin for even TFEC today.
Yeah, that's about it. And also a personal question.
Go for it.
Jamie, outside of Microsoft, what is your passion? Like once you unplug from this digital world,
you know,
what makes you tick?
You know, this is the you know, what's interesting about you, Jamie, you know, type of thing. And I always hate that question because I'm an amazingly boring guy, right? Like I really am, right? Like I have my job, I push on it, I have my family, I've got a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I find that especially coming to Redmond, you know, the amount of travel I do, those are kind of the two halves of my life. And the thing in the middle, you know, I like to play basketball. I like, you know, I'm freezing right now in the 68 degree, really, like my hands are literally turning to ice. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, okay, I wore shorts to Seattle in the end of July, and I lived here for 11 years and it was generally warm by the end of July. And, you know, I land and I'm like, it's cold. And then I get off, you know, then I'm driving from the airport in my rental car. And, yeah, we're in the low 60s today, or the high 60s. We'll be in the low 70s by the end of the day. But by Wednesday, we'll be back up into the low 80s. So the heat wave's coming back, guys. So enjoy this nice weather while you have it. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
You just missed the heat wave.
Yeah.
It was pretty hot.
In Vancouver, we had a heat wave, lots of fires.
How hot was it?
It's in the 30 degrees Celsius at times.
So yeah. I mean, that's about 90 Fahrenheit, maybe?
The problem is in Vancouver, it's not really hot compared to like South Africa, where I come from, but it's very humid.
Yeah.
So humid and not as hot, it can drain you. And especially if it's humid and it just doesn't want to rain.
Yeah, so, you know, on Saturday, I was at the pool with my daughter and it was probably 90 and 75% humidity and I'm dipping my toe in the pool water and I'm like, I think this is just barely warm enough to get in. So, you know, that just to put it in perspective, like.
I always thought the East Coast was cooler than the West Coast.
Yeah.
No. So California is very warm, a very dry warm, you know, like I lived in Sacramento for a while, 100 degree dry heat though. It's very different. You know, the East Coast, the Northeast is cool, although the summers can be very hot, but the Mid-Atlantic and South can be very, very warm. I mean, very, very warm. And so North Carolina, where I'm at, is probably 15 degrees warmer today and probably averages 10 degrees warmer than Seattle is. Yeah, Oregon, Washington, not so much.
Great.
All right.
Well, thank you once again for coming by the studio. And next time you're down, let's meet up again.
All right, sounds good.
Great.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yep. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.